To talk over that House of the Rising Sun. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon here with Jennifer Thomas and Dan DeLuzio. All right, Dan, we do have some listener questions this week, and if you have questions, you can reach us by phone at calling 770-429-9166. You can reach us toll-free at 1-855-429-9166 if you're outside our local calling area, and you can also email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. And if you can't reach us there, if you can just remember how I just spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R, you can Google us and That's probably right. find a thousand ways that you can get in touch with us. We have a question here from Clinton from Roswell. He says, I'm invested in, I'm going to butcher this name too, Zotus, I think it is, for about 9 months now. I bought it around $40. I'd like to hold on to this for a few more months, but analyst reports are all over the map. I saw it upgraded to a buy in November, but I saw someone else saying dump it. Where do you stand on this one? If I sell it, is there anything I should replace it with? I'm also interested in Henry Schein. Looks like some solid earnings per share and a pretty solid beta. Well, you've opened up a can of worms in several ways here. Number one, if we didn't have disagreement, we would not have a stock market. in order to find somebody that wants to buy your stuff, you have to
be willing to have somebody
have to
that
have
wants
a differing
to
opinion,
sell it.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in order to have a stock market, we got to have disagreement. So I wouldn't worry so much about the analyst. If you can identify the fundamentals, that's where you're really gonna do best investing in the market. And you know, a single stock does not a portfolio make. We prefer you to consider a well-diversified portfolio. But for the details on Zotus, it's had significant earnings outperformance in recent quarters. It's beaten estimates by at least 10% and since the third quarter of 2014. So we're going on a couple of years of outperformance relative to the analysts, which should tell you a little something about the analysts. Either company management is lowballing them a little bit, or they really haven't gotten a fix on what goes on with Zotus. Just to let you know, it's engaged in the discovery, development, manufacturing, commercialization of animal health medicines and vaccines. It's got a focus on both livestock and companion animals. So this is a pharmaceutical company, basically for your animals, and it has done well. It's got positive earnings, profitable company. You look at the operating profit margin, about 28.6%. It's got return on assets 12%, return on equity at 61.3%, which shows you that it's probably a pretty well leveraged company when it has the differential there. EVA spread, which I talk about a lot, return on invested capital minus the weighted average cost of that capital, is 4.81%, which is pretty decent. You know, it's not too bad. But it, you think about the fact that the analysts can't get a good fix on earnings, and mm-hmm. it makes me start wondering exactly what's going on with the company. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if I thought about it, I'd probably hold on to Zotus right now rather than dive off into the healthcare distribution space, which is Henry Schein. Henry Schein is a provider of healthcare products and services to office-based dental, animal health, and medical practitioners. So if you look at the difference there, you know, I said return on assets for Zotus is 12%. Well, for Henry Schein, it's 8.1%. 61.3% return on equity versus 18% for Henry Schein. You know, you look at all that's going on in both of these industries. Healthcare is right at the center of the target for what's going on in Congress and mm-hmm. with a new president. You can't really get a good fix. I think Congress has already made some changes to budgets and paved the way to what they expect to do is do away with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and move to something supposedly aimed at giving a cheaper option. Now, if you look at the details in there, one thing that's pretty clear is I think when Obamacare was enacted, it brought 20 million new people onto the healthcare rolls. Part of the way they did that was making it mandatory to have health insurance. Not something that I'm a big proponent of, you know, forcing people to purchase something if they don't want to have it. But what the new plan does, at least from the details that I've seen, and they haven't really, Republicans haven't pounded the table and said, this is the plan we're going with, but they do have, instead of a 9,000-page document, which was Obamacare, they've got about a 9-page document that that they're talking about.
And maybe they'll read it before they vote on it this time.
Well, it was funny that some were encouraged, don't even worry about reading the 9,000 pages. How could you in any short period of time? But, you know, they were encouraged not to read it, just sign the thing and let's move on. We'll work out the details later. I really am not a fan of that either, but some of the 9 pages I have read through, and it seems instead of trying to force people onto the healthcare rolls, what they've talked about is incentivizing them, basically with low costs. And if you have some event in your health that occurs, that you can renew and not have higher costs. So it's kind of one of those things. You know, if you buy insurance now, then your price will be low for a long time. Relative to forcing you onto the healthcare rolls, you know, there's probably some things that people are going to throw rocks at. Being able to charge older people a higher rate relative to young people because they tend to use more healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lock at 3-to-1, the cost differential in Obamacare. As it currently stands, and they're talking about a 5-to-1, and you know, in a new plan, 26 years old, and you have to get off your parents' health care and kind of float your own boat at that point. There's several things that would change under the details that I've seen, but again, what I think it does is probably, and we've seen this play out over the last few months, is health care has been under pressure in the stock market, and and I think your animals are probably going to be treated better.
Well, I was going to say, don't you think, like on the animal side of it, don't you think that people are spending more and more money on their pets and their animals, and you know, and probably even in that space, you're going to see quite a bit of increase just from, you know, they take better care of them, they take them to the vet more often, they
Or without health care,
right?
They're going to spend their. I mean, I don't know of a health care policy that covers your dog.
There are. Yes, you can actually buy a health care insurance
for your pet.
There you go. How about that?
That's a great new market, I understand.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years old.
If I had a choice between the two, that's why I'm saying right now, at least, I would rather buy Zotus and not so much Henry Schein. We got a question here. Doug from LaGrange says, if money put into a retirement account doesn't get taxed until you withdraw it, and by then the taxes have increased, wouldn't you have lost money? So the differential in tax, he's saying, is a...
Well,
I mean, there's kind of multiple things that we can talk about on that.
Absolutely.
I mean, the amount that, you know, or the deduction that you get is at your marginal tax rate.
As everybody knows, there's tax brackets. And so when you subtract the last dollar off your taxable income, it's at the top bracket.
Right.
So if you're taking money for a retirement plan, then it's off that top bracket.
So that's where the tax deduction is. And then when you pull money out, you're paying it at different, you know, even if the brackets have gone up, you still have some that are at no tax and some that are at a lower tax. And
you span the brackets with that. Exactly.
But to me, one of the biggest things that they're not considering is that you're not paying tax on the dividends and interest as it accumulates, and that is being reinvested, and it's compounding that growth You know, especially if you're starting young,
right,
and you're investing it over a long period of time, you get that compounding effect
without tax.
Right.
So that's
mm-hmm.
phenomenal.
Without tax.
Yeah, and because if you have $10 yes. in dividends and you have a 20% mm-hmm. tax, well, you're only going to be reinvesting $8 because you got to pay the government
right. too.
But if you got it in a tax deferred account, mm-hmm. that $10 gets reinvested.
Right.
So that's that compounds.
So sure. typically, what we recommend to people, and this is just kind of the strategy of how to invest, is, you know, you should start by, if you're eligible to save to a Roth, mm-hmm. you should save to a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, after that, then you should save to your 401k where you're getting the match. You want to at least save as much as you can to get the match, but if you can max it out, then that would be great. Then after you've done that, if you can come back and save to your taxable account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just the general way that we recommend, but in addition to that, I would say that it's very important to think about diversifying. You know, we talk about diversifying portfolios, but you also want to, at some point, especially as you're accumulating wealth, is to diversify where you're saving those dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, you know, if you have all of your money in a 401k or an IRA that is not Roth, then every dollar that you pull out of there is going to be taxed. So if you have all of your savings in there, then every dollar that you pull out once you start spending from your savings
right.
is going to be taxed.
Absolutely.
One other thing to consider is that, let's say if you retire before you're 70 and a half, which a good number of people do, you may be in a very low tax bracket until you start having to pull money out of your IRA.
Yes.
You ought to look at pulling out money from your IRA early or earlier than 70 and a half, at least what you could get out with no tax or in a
very
low
tax
bracket.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't have a lot of other income. So that's something that's just a strategy that
I
always talk to people about.
A last real quickie item. A lot of people move in retirement to states where they don't have any income tax. Plus, Georgia, if you're 62, you get a $35,000 retirement exemption.
Uh-huh.
That's no tax.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 65, it goes up to $65,000.
Right.
No, that's per
mm-hmm.
taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So diversify the holdings, diversify the way you invest. Diversify everything, right?
Right.
Right.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the end. Jennifer, we're going to go up or down this week?
Up.
Market's up.
Definitely up.
And the Falcons are going to win.
There we go.
Absolutely.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.